We do want to welcome everyone who's here. I'm so glad you're here. Trust you're glad to be here today. If I ask your name 100 times, thank you for answering it 100 times. I will get your names down. We're excited about that, learning first names and last names and middle names and social security numbers and all that fun kind of information. We will know you, but we sure hope you know us just as much as we want to know you. We're so thankful for you guys as a church family, our church family. It's been neat to see even our kids talking about our previous church, which is all our kids ever know have known, but really my wife since a kid and me since a teenager, but it's been neat as a family to hear us talking about Faith Baptist and not our church, and because you are our church, and we're just so thankful for you guys. The third Sunday of January typically is Sanctity of Life Sunday. It has been set aside generally, but this year I think we have something special, and that is on the fourth Sunday of January is actually Sanctity of Life Day. It is the 22nd, and that is next Sunday, so we'll talk about that a little bit even next Sunday as we get into that. And if you read your bulletin, not right now, the back of your bulletin, I believe there's something about that, so you go ahead and take and read that during lunch or something, that'd be a great time to do that. So we'll deal with that. 2 Peter chapter 3. Rocky, if you go ahead and put that other slide up there. Growing together. We have a great opportunity as a church family this year to do what? Grow together. You know, it's incredible. We have so many different ways we can grow together. One, we're just going to grow together knowing each other. And we're excited about that. We're thankful to have been getting to know you and getting to know just more about you, more about our area. It's been neat to watch God do different things and knitting our hearts together. Just been incredible. I was talking with someone this last week about the Segurados, our missionaries, that God used to tie all of us together. And so we get to grow together as a church family this year. But another way that we get to grow together is spiritually. In 2017, we have great opportunities to grow together spiritually. On Wednesday evenings, for those of you who are upstairs in the Bible study, I know some are down in the club ministry, and others of you aren't able to be here. Who can tell me what we're talking about on Wednesday night? This kind of puts you on a spot on a Sunday morning. I know. Yes, Karen. Fruit. We are talking about fruit. Growing together, bearing fruit. And if you are at all possible able to come on a Wednesday evening, we sure want you here. What a great opportunity. We've got a lot going on downstairs with the kids. If you've never been here to see all the kids that we get, it's exciting. And I'm just so thankful for all of you kids workers. But we want you to be here. We are studying fruit. We want to make it something that is meaningful. To come on out on a Wednesday evening, it's not just another time to get together, but it's helping us as we go through the week, growing together spiritually. Sunday mornings throughout, at least for a little bit here, and we're not, of course, this morning, but we'll be studying the book of Joshua. Growing together in a transition. You know about Joshua and Moses and the transition of leadership that took place there. And we are going to be studying Joshua and the book of Joshua as we grow together as a church family. Sunday evenings, we're going to be studying the book of 1 John as we grow together in our Christian lives and learning, just seeing some of the practical ways and areas that we can grow spiritually and that Christ wants to make a difference in our lives tomorrow, not just today, and not just the Lord's Day, but truly every day as we go through the week. And so we'll be doing that on Sunday evenings. And as well, we're going to be incorporating some different things even with kids, and I know sometimes there's some difficulties with that. We're going to start some of that this evening, and we're going to continue to build on that. And so if you are a kid, and I'm going to let you choose which age being a kid is. Kids, you get to come forward tonight, and we're going to do some stuff up here during the service, a little bit part of that, and just go through some of that. So we want you to come. We are trying to do whatever we can to help you see it's important to be here, because we, this year, as year of 2017, our theme is growing together. And I trust that's your desire to grow together as a church family. But to grow together, we've got to be together and spend that time together. We have fun activities that we'll do, and potlucks. How many of you enjoy potlucks? 16. Okay. The rest of you come and you'll enjoy them too. They are great. I was blown away with last week's potluck, let me tell you. And you didn't have to get lucky if you got anything at the end of the line. You just kept coming and coming and coming, and it was still there, kind of like Elijah. And what's that? Black beans. Yes, we were talking about black beans. I'll make some of my black bean stuff for you, Kim. Don't worry. So I do enjoy black beans. You have to talk with some people that were in the kitchen this morning if you'd like to know more about that. But we will have a lot of fun things as a church family. So we'll grow together, getting to know each other. We're going to grow together spiritually this year. That's us. That takes you. That takes us. And we're going to grow together spiritually. So come out. Be involved. Be part of it. If for no other reason than what do they do on Sunday night? At my church, right? I mean, because this is what you would say, is this is your church. You're telling someone, my church, Jerusalem Baptist, you come. We're going to try to help you see, hey, there's some exciting stuff going on, and whether you're a kid, whether you're an adult, whether you're beyond adult, I don't know if you can get back there, but you're beyond adult age or however you want to look at that, we're going to grow together this year, and so we're excited about that. 2 Peter chapter 3, we looked at our memory verse. Who knows what verse that was? 3:18, that's right. So we're our memory verse, and we'll be learning that really through the rest of this month. This is going to be our theme for the year, growing together. And so really this verse is so important, and I wanted to kind of make this as a theme verse as a church family for this year. But grow in grace. Let's say that together. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18. And as we go through this year, man, we want to grow in him. Because life is all about him. To him be the glory, both now and forever. We know that someday every knee will bow. Philippians chapter 2 talks about that. But we want to give God glory right now in South Central Michigan. Don't you? Not just today. We don't want people just to know, come to Jerusalem Baptist. There's exciting stuff that happens on Sundays and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. But Christ makes a difference, and there's some exciting things, even if life is tough, every day of the year we can grow in him and be excited to continue in that growing process. Father, we come before you as we open up your word. We pray that you would make a difference in our lives this morning. God, as we look at this memory verse in this passage, and really our theme even as a church family for this year of growing together, may it make a difference in our lives. God, would you change us? Help us to grow together. That sure is our desire, God, not just so we can like each other more, but so we can glorify you, and that even as we look, the unsaved around us will come to know you as Savior this year. Then it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our passage this morning starts in verse number 9. Verse number 9, and I know Pastor Bob has referred to this in his Sunday school class, I think it was last week, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You know, the second coming of Christ, this passage talks about that. The second coming of Christ should make a difference in our lives. It should affect your life. Because God wants others, one, to be saved. And as it ends up, this passage we see in verse 9, we talk about others being saved. And where does verse 18 end up? With God receiving all the glory. And so as a goal, as our church family to grow together this year, really we see twofold reasons. The unsaved to be saved and God to be glorified. And that he would make a difference in and through our lives and thus in our community and in the greater South Central area. That God would make a difference and truly be glorified. But how do we grow together this year? Number one, I'd like us to see that we grow by looking. We grow together by looking. Verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. It's not that he's just putting off coming. I mean, some people say they're going to do stuff, right? We're going to do this for you. And they just put it off, they put it off, they put it off. Sometimes it's because they forget. Sometimes it's because it's a lot of work and they just don't take the time to put it together. Sometimes it's other things come up. But God is saying here, Peter is saying about God, God is not slack concerning his promise. He's not waiting to come back just because he's lazy. He's not waiting to come back, but he says he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. I find it very interesting. Who is Peter writing to? Unsaved or saved? The saved. And he's saying here that God is not, he is long-suffering to us as believers, because he's not willing that any should perish. Well, how do the unsaved hear about God? Is it through the angels? Now, we know the angels proclaimed the Messiah's birth, but who then spread it? The shepherds. And the wise men, they went their separate way instead of going back to King Herod. We're reminded as Jesus' ministry, he leaves the responsibility of the Great Commission, as sometimes we refer to it, to believers. It's not to the angels. And yes, we're reminded that even nature shows that there is God. But someone can't look at the grass and the stars and get saved. They need to hear that Jesus loves them and died on the cross for their sins. And so it's so important as we think about that. See, here in verse 9 it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some may count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, how do they come to repentance? It's through you and I sharing the gospel. And through our lives making a difference. We grow together by looking. By looking. First, we must look at the unsaved. Seeing the unsaved as Christ sees them. We're reminded, I believe it's in Matthew, where Jesus says, lift up your eyes. Behold, the fields are white, already to harvest. When the disciples looked at the unsaved through the eyes of Christ, the one having compassion, seeing them as sheep that were scattered abroad, it made a difference. The woman at the well, Jesus was there, and he was talking with her and showing her her great need. And wow! The disciples were easily caught up in getting food, because, I mean, it's time to eat. It's hungry. But when we see people through the eyes of Christ, it was interesting, even one of, I think it was Josiah this week, we were getting onto the highway, and there was an exit, on the entry ramp, there was a truck on the side. And Josiah, even as a five-year-old, Dad, should we stop and help that guy? I mean, that's exciting. It's like, wow, little kid seeing other people for who they are. And I said, well, this guy, he's already on his phone, and so he's probably got help coming or whatever. But to see that, and that's how you and I as adults should see our community around us. We must look at the unsaved through the eyes of Christ. That they are sheep scattered abroad, having no shepherd. That the true reality of their lives is without Christ. They are on their way to eternity in hell. Just like you and I were. You remember that? I was 4 and a half. And man, as I've grown older and I've learned more of what that really is, wow, it hits us. What we really have in Christ. Grace, Joanne played that this morning. What amazing grace we have. We don't deserve heaven. But God has given it to us through Jesus Christ. And so we must grow together by looking at the unsaved through the eyes of God. Men are slow in fulfilling their promises from various or often selfish motives, but God's delay comes from love and long-suffering. Like, oh, he wants the world to be saved. And if you're in the auditorium Sunday school class, and Pastor Bob has talked somewhat even about that Arminianism and Calvinism and going through some of those realities, but God is not willing that any should perish. Jesus died for all. John 3:16, simple. For God so loved the... I mean, M106, outside this window, the cars that go by, unless the people in those cars know Jesus Christ as Savior, they're destined to eternity in hell. What difference does it make in our lives? Does it really affect us? We have track drag. Why? Because that's what churches have. But do we see the lost through the eyes of Christ? As we grow together this year, we must grow by looking. Looking at the lost and seeing them for what they really are. We grow by looking not just at the unsaved, but at the future prophecy. Verse 10, Peter goes on and he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. It should change the way we live, verse 11 talks about. Verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent. So he's saying, look at the future prophecy, because that should help us grow together and change, again, change the way we live, change the way we look at the lost and dying world. Help us to see our priorities and set them aright. Chris, when you have tests this year, you might get worried, but you might study, right? We know Christ is coming, but sometimes it's just, it's so far off. It doesn't really affect the way we live. But verse 11 said, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? And all holy conversation and godliness. Let's live like that's going to be the day. We don't know. Verse 10 says, as the day will come as a thief in the night. Some of you may remember some movies, I think they were in the 70s, the Thief in the Night series and all of those. And I remember a couple of those as a kid. But the reality is that Christ will come, and we don't know when. The reality is Christ could return right now. He could come for the rapture of his church. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you aren't going. Wow, wouldn't that be scary, being left in a room all alone, having heard all these things? I can't imagine. But how does that affect us as believers then? As we look at the unsaved and look at the future prophecy, whoa, I want to live right and godly, because I don't want to be ashamed at his coming. As we're doing whatever sin it is that we enjoy the most, and we do enjoy, don't we? Do you enjoy sin? I do. Anybody else? I mean, that's why we sin. Because the Bible says it's fun, even if it's only for a season, we're reminded in Hebrews. But if we see the future reality of the prophecy of the Bible, it will affect the way we live today and tomorrow. Wednesday night, as we were talking about bearing fruit, we were talking about bearing fruit through difficult times of life. And one of those things we pointed out was that we will be tempted come Wednesday night. Those of you who were here, were you tempted yet on Wednesday night? I know I was. I mean, man, and that thought just really gripped me. And I thought about it throughout this week. It's like, wow, we can bear fruit through those temptation times, through the rest of the week. But as we look at the unsaved, and as we look at the prophecy of the Word of God, we can grow together. The lighthouse that our church has been will continue on. And will continue to grow brighter and brighter in our community, in our area. Aren't you excited? I mean, this is exciting stuff. We can grow together and make a difference for Christ. Amen. Growing together by looking at the unsaved, looking at the future prophecy. But we need to grow together by living. By living. Letting it change the way we live. You remember back when you first met your spouse or your spouse-to-be? And what things attracted you and what you kind of liked and what you kind of did. And we were talking with our kids the other night as we were eating last night, and the kids were drawing on, and one of them was going to grab a napkin and draw on that. And one of them said, well, it's so hard to draw on napkins. And I said, well, you know, I used to write mom notes on napkins. I remember being in the dining hall at college and just the exciting times that was in writing notes on napkins. I mean, you do all sorts of goofy stuff, right? You remember doing that? Okay. And because you love that person. And so that affects the way you live. It affects how you think. It affects how you're going to act around that person. Right? I mean, we see that. But that's how, as we grow together this year, it will change the way we live. Not just on Sundays. And boy, again, I'm imploring you, if you haven't come out on Sunday nights, would you come? We want you here. This is an exciting time. We get to grow together as a church family. And Wednesdays, if you're able, I mean, we are going to grow together as a church family. You know, the less time we spend with each other, the less we grow together. You've been that way, whether it be with your spouse or a friend or something. Man, I have a friend in college, and we were good friends in college. He was my boss, and somehow we got to be good friends. And it went, a number of years had transpired. I mean, he lived in Ohio, then he's moved again, and a number of years transpired, and we just really didn't communicate a lot. And just the Lord has kind of drawn, actually him and another one, all of us kind of back to each other again. And when you aren't spending time with that person, it's kind of awkward again, isn't it? Sometimes it's like awkward to get back with someone or whatever. Well, as we spend more time as a church family, we will grow together. Not just loving each other more, but loving him more. And it will affect the way we live tomorrow. The more we spend time with Christ, the more we will look like Christ. You know, don't they say that after you've been married so long, Lloyd, you can probably tell us more like this, that you know what your wife is thinking? She doesn't even have to tell you. I mean, because you spend time with each other, you know, you've learned how she thinks. And there are times we learn other things about our spouse or whatever. We had some friends tell us the other night, they've been married, I think it was 8 years or something like that. And she said, you know, I just learned that my husband likes this, and I didn't. I thought he liked that. I mean, we always learn more things about our spouses, don't we? But the more we spend time with our spouse, the more it affects the way we live and think, and it just affects our lives. The more we spend time together as a church family, it will change us. We will grow together. Because we're centering what we do around what? Not just a social club. It's around the Word of God, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's about Him. As we grow together by living blamelessly. Verse 11, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him without spot and blameless. As I hold this up, do you see a bunch of spots? I mean, it's black, it's dark. But if I hold up, and this is less so, I mean, from your distance you can't see it, but we see it's more blameless. It's more without spots. And the more we grow together, the more you and I will live without spots of sin in our lives. And the more that we will live like Christ. As we're reminded in future prophecy, someday we will be like him. Why? For we shall see him as he is. The more we grow together, the more we're like him, we will be like him because we see him. And that's why we study God's word as we get together on Sunday mornings and on Sunday evenings and try to incorporate some things for some of the kids, because I've got kids and I know it's hard for them to focus. I'm an adult, and is it ever hard for us to focus? Right? I mean, and so some of these things are tough. But we center our lives and our service times and other things. We want to be about God's word because it's about him. We grow together in him. That's what this year is about. But really, that's what our lives are about. Him. Living our lives. Grow by living. Living blamelessly without spot. Verse 14 gave us another action word. How do we live? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be what? Diligent. It's not just something that we do. As we grow by living, we live blamelessly, but we also live diligently. On purpose. Remember learning your job? One of the recent jobs I had, is, as you know, was McDonald's. And as much as I knew McDonald's years ago and I trained different people, there were still things I had to learn. I had to be diligent about it. Anybody like those mocha frappes and caramel frappes? Ann raises her hand. But you know what? And if I put 18 pumps of the mocha syrup in there, you would hate it. You might like chocolate, but that'd be way too much and it would ruin the whole thing. And there were times, even with some of those hot beverages, that I had to continue looking back and saying, okay, now how many pumps was that? And we had a book we could look at because I wanted to get it right. And as you and I grow together this year, we must be diligent about it. It's not going to be easy always to set aside the Lord's Day. I understand sickness happens. You know I do. I mean, we have gone through it with our family even lately. And some of you have really gone through it. And we've got some today who aren't with us. God knows and understands that. But as much as we can, let's be diligent about our Christian lives. And it will change the way we live, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays getting together, as much as we want you here and we're going to grow together. But we must be diligent come tomorrow morning. Because tomorrow morning is not going to be the easiest thing to live victoriously and joyfully in Christ. It's a lot easier on a Sunday morning as we sing songs together and we gather around God's Word and it's exciting, at least once we get here, right? It's stressful coming to church because Satan doesn't want us here. Or is it just my family? Right? I mean, it's stressful coming to church because Satan doesn't want our hearts to be ready to worship. Satan doesn't want our hearts to be tender to the Word of God. We must be diligent about that. Growing together by looking. Growing together by living blamelessly, living diligently through life. Verse 15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, and which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, diligence, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. As we grow together this year, we grow by looking at the unsaved, looking at the prophecy, by living blamelessly, by living diligently. But we grow by learning, by continuing to learn more about him. It's said, verse 16, Peter says, some things are hard to be understood. Now, who wrote the Bible? And we could say, well, Peter wrote this and Paul wrote that. Well, and yes, God used human authors, but who wrote the Bible? God. Who wants to help us understand the Bible? God. God does. The Holy Spirit. But it does take diligence. It takes time in God's Word. Every day. Do you only eat when we come have food at church? Of course not. But is that the only time you eat spiritually? If it is, we aren't going to grow together. As much as it's important for us to spend time together as a church family, and we have regularly set times, it's not enough. Don't starve yourself and then come to church so you can gorge and then try to take enough to get through till the next time we get together. You need time in God's Word. And it's tough, isn't it? Satan does not want us to spend time in God's Word. But again, as we said, we must live diligently. As we grow together, we grow by learning. Learning more about His grace, verse 18, but grow in grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved her. God's riches at Christ's expense, some people describe it as, but it's something we don't deserve that's good from God. Which is just about everything we have in our spiritual lives. We don't deserve joy and peace on earth. We deserve chaos because we deserve hell. We are sinners saved by grace. But if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, today is the day of salvation. You can grow by learning Him and learning of His grace that it's for you as well. Why is it that we bring kids in on the vans? Because we're supposed to as a church. They ever get in your way, you trip over them, fall, you're just in my way. No, they're not. I mean, this is special. We want these kids to grow together with us, knowing the grace of God is real in their lives. Wow. We grow by learning of His grace. That's why I encourage you, as we have our memory verses, and we're going to do that again tonight. But as we have our memory verses, that we learn God's Word. That we learn more about Him and His grace together through His Word. It takes diligence. It takes commitment. But we will grow together, won't we? Growing together by learning more of His grace. Growing together by learning more about Him. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn back to Philippians, if you will. Philippians chapter 3. It is in the New Testament, right? Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10. See, it's Paul, and remember, Peter was just writing about our beloved brother who? Paul. We saw that in our passage here today. As Peter refers back to Paul, and as Paul has written to believers, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul, as he's writing, of course, the Holy Spirit inspiring him, says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I what? Follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Doesn't that sound like growing? As he knows Christ. Now, not that we want to forget the exciting things and the positive things that God has done in 2016. Or over the last 41 years, that's why we are planning a day of celebration. Yes, to honor Pastor Bob and Debbie, but to give God glory for Pastor Bob and Debbie and what God has done over the last 41 years. But Paul, as he's saying, he says, forgetting those things, not focusing on that was good, that was good, that was good, the good days of yesteryear. Anybody ever heard the phrase, the good old days? We don't want to live according to the good old days. We want to live according to the good old days today. As we continue to press on and grow in Him. As we grow together as a church family. So are you going to be part of it? We don't want to leave you in the dust. But we're headed somewhere, aren't we? You're going to be part of it. We want you here. It's exciting. We're going to grow together. It's going to take diligence. It's going to take commitment. Satan does not want to see our church family grow. But by God's grace, we will. We'll continue to grow in Him. Looking at the unsaved and at the Word of God and the prophecy. We'll continue to grow by living our lives blameless and spotless and continuing to be victorious over sin. By being diligent and doing those things that aren't always the easy things, but are right before God. We will grow by learning of His grace and growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Isn't that your commitment? It's mine. And this is something we must do, what? Together.